Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Rabbi Hillel, was adapted by Peter Lyon from an original story by Rabbi Eli Pilchick. When Rome ruled the world, when a Caesar had made Herod king in Judea to rule over the Jews, when the rich and aristocratic citizens of Jerusalem sought to copy the ways of their conquerors, a wise and simple man dwelt with his family in a room over a blacksmith's shop, and he was known to be a God-fearing man who kept his law. And it happened that one day there came two rich young men of the town on their way from the gymnasium.
There's where he lives, that house over there.
Who?
The man I was telling you about.
The scholar.
That's the one. They say of him that he's the most patient man in the whole country.
They do, eh? You wouldn't like to lose some money, would you?
What do you mean?
I'll make you a bet I can make him lose his patience and his temper, too.
Him? Oh, never. Not even Herod could do that.
A bet?
It's stealing your money.
I'm feeling charitable today. Well?
400 zoos.
400? It's a bet.
Well, what's the joke?
See the sun? It's almost set. And this is the eve of the Sabbath.
Oh, I forgot.
If this man you speak of is so holy, he will be occupied with his preparation for the Sabbath. It will be as easy to ruffle his temper as to knock on his door. Watch. Is Hillel there? He that is called Hillel. Is he here?
Yes, my son. I am Hillel. What is it?
I have a question to ask, but perhaps I am disturbing you.
Ask your question, my son.
My question? Oh, yes, let's see. You come from Babylonia. I thought perhaps you might tell me, why do the Babylonians have long heads?
Well, because their midwives, alas, are not skillful. Peace to you, my son.
Well, so? Well, it doesn't look as though
your horses. My plan is just beginning to work. You saw that he was only half-dressed with a towel on his head, just as I'd hoped. Now watch.
Hillel here! Is Hillel here? Open up! What is it now, my son?
I have a question to ask.
Ask it, my son.
Why are the eyes of the Palmyrans bloodshot?
Well,
why are the eyes of the Palmyrans bloodshot?
Because the country where they live is sandy and windswept. Peace be with you, my son.
Well, my friend.
One shoe on and one shoe off, right? And the sun going down. Get across the street. There, so he won't suspect. And watch!
Is Hillel there? Will Hillel come to the door? Still another question, my son?
A very important question.
I'm sure it must be, for you knock so loudly, my son.
It is most important. Why are the feet of the Ethiopians so wide?
Most important.
Well, why are...
Because they live in a marshy, swampy country. Just a moment, young man. I have a question to ask of you.
Yes?
See, the sun's last ray is dying. The Sabbath is approaching. Why did it occur to you to interrupt my hurried Sabbath preparations with your important questions?
You are Hillel. You are he of whom I have heard. May there be few like you among our people.
How so, my son?
Because I've lost a wager. You've cost me 400 zuz.
Oh. Well, still, you are the richer, my son. Hmm? For haven't you learned something of the meaning of patience?
Yes, that's true enough.
It is written, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hateth spirit exalts folly.
A good Sabbath to you, Master Hillel. And great peace.
He was called Hillel. He was born in Babylonia of the seed of David. With his family, he had traveled west back to Jerusalem to the Holy Mountain so that he might study the Torah with the two greatest teachers of their generation, Shammai and Abtalion. For his bread, he worked in Barnapaha's smithy, and Barnapaha paid him one dinar, about 25 cents, each day.
Hillel.
Yes?
Is this why you've brought me and our children to Jerusalem, so that you may work at the blacksmith's trade?
We must eat, my dear.
Yes, and you may become the best blacksmith in all Jerusalem, but was it for that we came here? Or was it so that you might learn Torah from Shammai and Abtalion every day of the week?
It is not so easy, Ruth. At the school where they teach, a man stands at the door, and from each student he takes each day one half of a silver denarium.
Oh.
Which would leave from what Barnapaha pays me just the other half on which to live.
Yes. And it would be enough. It must be enough.
But
give the doorkeeper the money, Hillel. Go. Sit at the feet of your masters while God gives them breath. Go, study. We shall manage. We shall manage.
That winter, snow fell heavily in Jerusalem, and at length the blacksmith, Barnapaha, came to Hillel.
The weather is bitter, master.
I think I know what is in your mind, Barnapaha.
The gentry have stabled their horses for the time. Who knows when they will be driving abroad again?
Only the Lord. Blessed be he.
Yes. And so, master.
I know. You can no longer pay me.
When I get no money myself, how am I to pay you? But where there is a question of food, your good lady knows that you will take care of her and the children.
It is written, render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest.
Oh, you know that I shall once again pay you as soon as I am able, Master Hillel.
He's fainted from cold and hunger.
Here's oil. Here, rub his arm.
His hands, his face.
What is it? Oh.
A fine thing, standing outside in the snow and with no heavy cape either.
Italian, it must be admitted, we teach food.
Yes,
forgive me, my revered teachers, for putting you to this trouble on the Sabbath. I meant no harm. I meant no trouble for you.
Quiet, don't talk. Why did you do it? Don't answer. I suppose because all the seats in the front were crowded.
Hush.
You unwilling to...
Hillel, of course we forgive you. To help a man in your condition is not a violation of the Sabbath.
The back seats were not good enough for you.
Enough, Abtalion. The doorkeeper has told me this man Hillel, so eager, so avid for knowledge of the law, had no half denarium to pay at the door.
What? No half denarium?
I'm truly sorry, masters, to have caused you all this.
It is written, let him be warm and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Shammai, surely we know of children whom Hillel can teach?
A dozen, at least.
He can earn 6 dinars a day and more, am I right?
God is good to me.
Only remember. Remember, Hillel, when you grow in the Torah and become a great teacher, remember how the teachers also said, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy.
Hillel taught. He taught Israel to love with all 9 measures of her wisdom. And his fame spread abroad. And the old and the young came to sit at his feet. There even came one day a Roman clad in a scarlet cloak richly embroidered, who leaned with studied grace against the door of Hillel's home and drummed his fingers and eyed the teacher reflectively.
I am Octavius Flavius.
I have heard of you.
Master Hillel... Study is at best an occupation for man's relaxation. I have not time to waste on books. But I am told you are wise and a teacher. So I am led to demand of you, teach me your whole Torah while I stand on one foot.
You look like a bright-feathered heron, Octavius Flavius.
Perhaps it is too windy, your Torah, too wordy, too complex, perhaps?
It can be taught you, Octavius Flavius. Listen. That which is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man. That is the whole Torah, my friend. The rest is commentary. Now, put your other foot back down on the floor and go forth and study the commentary.
And if I study and learn and become a proselyte, will you appoint me to the high priesthood?
Would you appoint a longshoreman on the Tiber to be Caesar? Can a Greek child speak Hebrew who doesn't know the alphabet?
But, Master Hillel, I have studied the Greek alphabet. I have some knowledge of your alphabet. They're quite like. The two cultures are similar.
As the sun and the moon.
Yes, just listen. Your Aleph is very much like our Alpha. Your Beth is our Beta. Your Gimel is our Gamma. And your Daled is first cousin to our Delta.
Go on. Go on. Climb further out on that limb.
It is true, Master Hillel. The next two letters are difficult. There seems to be no Epsilon. Yours is a Hey. And then your next letter is Vov. Your Hey and your Vov are missing in the Greek, Hillel. That makes it a little difficult.
And yet, it is precisely the Hey and the Vov which separate the Jews from the Greek and the Roman, Octavius Flavius.
What do you mean?
Why are the mind and the heart of the Jew as distant from the mind and the heart of the Hellenized Roman as the East is distant from the West? It is because the Jew believes in the one living God, but the other is pagan.
But what has this to do with the two letters of the alphabet?
The difference is in the alphabet, in the very alphabet. And you can hear the difference in the sound that little children make when they begin copying those around them.
Well, you speak in riddles. We all live in the same world.
And the same creator made us.
Children hear the same sounds.
Ah, that is the beginning of the difference. When we teach our little children, Octavius, we do not feel that we are training parrots or pagans and cause them only to memorize a catalog of letters. I said the difference began in the alphabet. Pick first Aleph and Beth. Aleph, Beth means Aleph Bina, which means...
Learn wisdom.
Right. So as soon as the small child can shape the first two letters of our alphabet, he already understands the purpose for which they were endowed with minds by the Almighty, blessed be he.
An engaging notion.
And the next two letters, Gimel Daleth.
Stands for?
Gemor Dalin, which is to say, consider the lowly. And so with the third and fourth letters of the alphabet, we begin molding their little hearts. We begin guiding them out of their own little egotisms. So on down the alphabet, every letter invested with a portion of the sanctity of life.
What about the Hey and the Vav, Hillel? You said that in those two letters was the difference between East and West.
Ah, yes, there is the essence of the difference. But first, the first four must be mastered before these two can be understood. It is like the royal chamber, Octavius Flavius. There are many entrance halls which must be first traversed.
This is mockery, Hillel.
Only the bear who has no fear of God mocks one of the creatures of God.
Then teach me the meaning of the Hay and the Vav.
Yes?
Three men, Hillel. Three men demand they see you at once. It is of greatest importance, they say.
Who may they be?
Of the sons of Bathera, they say.
Sons of Bathera? Bring them in quickly and fetch wine and cakes. These are godly men, disciples of the wise. Octavius Flavius, my friend.
I understand, Master Hillel.
Study, my friend. And perhaps you will arrive at the meaning of the Hay and Vav unaided. Peace be with you.
And with you.
This way, gentlemen.
Manathan, Tzadok, and Samuel, peace be unto you, my teachers. You grace my home with your presence. How good is the Almighty.
Peace be you to you, Hillel. You are come to us at once at the Chamber of the Hewn Stone, a matter of the greatest urgency.
The command of teachers of the law is to me the command of my Creator.
Quickly to the temple, up a flight of marble steps and into the chamber of hewn stone where sat 18 of Israel's seers on benches ranged in a half moon. This was the high court, the Sanhedrin. And Hillel stands in the middle as the sage Menachem speaks.
Hillel, here are the sons of Bethera, the preservers and sustainers of the Torah. We have meditated day and night, and we have rendered decisions in accordance with the laws of Moses. Although we fear the Lord and serve him with all our hearts, his light is veiled from us at times, and we know not how to instruct Israel. We have called you hither to help us.
My masters!
The wisdom of your teaching is known to all of us, Hillel.
It is incumbent upon us to seek your strength, Hillel.
As a staff on which we may lean for support.
It is proposed, Hillel, that we elect you as our patriarch, that you may continue to teach us and to lead Israel back to the Torah.
No, no.
Yes, Hillel.
No, no. I am not fit for the task. My teachers, bethink yourselves. There lived in our midst a distinguished disciple of my own teachers. He is a son of the sacred soil, Shammah. To him should go the mantle of leadership. It is Shammai who has taught our generation, make Torah thy fixed duty. Shammai!
What Shammai cannot teach and cannot lead. He is quick to wrath and sharp of tongue, and his voice, his words are like stinging arrows. His listeners he makes shy. The shy cannot learn.
How do you vote?
Hillel.
So be it.
The command of the teachers of the law is the command of my Creator.
And so Hillel became the president of the court, the patriarch of Israel. And his wisdom grew in the service of his God. And from the people he received veneration and also love. For he remembered to judge righteously and to plead the cause of the poor and the needy and those who seek the way of the Torah. And one day, as he arose from his prayers, he was told he had a visitor.
Octavius Flavius, you're welcome.
Greetings, Master Hillel.
I am honored by your visit.
I have been studying, Master Hillel. I think I have traversed the entrance hall. I believe I'm about to enter the royal chamber.
The letters Hay and Vav?
I have an understanding of why you said that these two letters are precisely those which separate the Jew from the pagan idolater who worships many false gods.
What is your understanding of the letters, my son?
The two letters are central and consecutive.
Yes.
And they signify the name of the Lord, the one God. Blessed be he.
You have studied well, Octavius Flavius. And remember, it is written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the All-Holy is understanding. Peace be with you.
And the prayer, peace be with you, was no empty wish, for the times were troubled, and King Herod held his throne by violence and blood. And Hillel the gentle, Hillel the wise, was called on to oppose this turbulence with the wisdom of justice. Justice which could grow and adapt itself to this changing world. Thus there came to him one of his disciples, a certain Yohanan, to speak with him.
I am troubled, Master.
Speak what is on your mind.
My father is a merchant, Hillel, and he has grave problems. For now the sixth year is drawing to a close, and the seventh year is near at hand.
The seventh year which is described in the law?
At the end of every 7 years, it is written, every creditor shall release that which he hath lent unto his neighbor.
The precedent is that if a loan has not been repaid by the seventh sabbatical year, it can no longer be claimed.
Master, this law was a good law many generations ago. But then each man owned his own land and lived on the fruits of the land. Then this law could have covered only acts of charity for the benefit of a countryman in distress.
But today, when many men engage in commerce, I can see that this law will end by destroying credit and commerce will halt. Yohanan, Israel was created to fulfill the Torah. But was not the Torah also created to help Israel fulfill itself?
I don't understand, Master.
I will study this matter further, Yohanan. And I will promise to discuss it with the High Court.
A teacher is wise when he will not be tyrannized by words, when he will seek and find the way to make of his difficulties a sure strength. Rabbi Hillel took up with the High Court the matter of the sabbatical year and the release from loans.
The law is most clear and distinct, Hillel.
And yet we recognize the need for redress.
What redress can there be? The law is the law. It must be obeyed.
Yet there is a way out of the difficulty.
But tell us, Hillel.
The law is explicit. At the end of every 7 years, every creditor shall release that which he hath lent unto his neighbor.
How can there be redress?
My ruling is this. If the creditor hands over to a court of law a document making the indebtedness over to the members of the court, then it will be his right to claim the debt through the court even after the end of the seventh year.
The intent is good.
Yeah, but it's an evasion of the letter of the law.
But what of the basis of the letter of the law? It too must be maintained. Now, this discussion provides just one more example of the illogic with which you approach the law. Was the Torah not given to us for the good of man? My formula considers the needs of both sides.
It will protect both the creditor against the loss of his property and the needy from being refused a loan. Now, hear me. You have gathered not learning, but arrogance. Were you not forced in the day of your disgrace to choose me, who came from alien Babylonia, to become patriarch over you rather than one of your number? And what was the cause of such a disgrace but your own indolence, your own refusal to serve as disciples the two greatest men of the generation, Shammai and Apollyon? The day of your disgrace, when you helplessly turned to me, will not
Hillel,
be...
Hillel...
What is it?
It was you who finally settled the argument as to whether Passover overrode the Sabbath. Would you refresh my memory on one other particular? If a man forget his knife for the slaughter of the Paschal lamb, may he return to get it or not?
I have forgotten this law. The court will rise now until tomorrow.
Hillel went home and withdrew by himself and knelt and prayed. He recognized that Menachem, when he spoke, had spoken in a still, small voice. He recognized that his inability to remember the law had been intended by Menachem as a reproach, a chiding, because he, Hillel, had vaunted himself. And Hillel spoke aloud.
Whoso makes his name great loses his name.
Again he prayed. And in prayer remembered the law he had forgotten. And he arose from his prayers next morning and went to the hall of study to address the court.
It was suggested yesterday that my pronouncement on the law of the seventh year was an evasion. I should like to try again. I ask you, my brothers, how shall we regard the Torah? I say the Torah, like the beautiful green earth and every creature upon it, like the fish of the seas and the birds of the air, was created for man by the all-wise Creator, blessed be He. And they were given to man so that all we sons of Adam might better worship the one God. And I say that whatever interferes with His greater glorification, this must be changed. Would we have a Torah which is like a querulous old grandfather, dictating impossibilities to his household and thereby driving them to distraction and hatred? Or would we have a Torah which is a greater guide to life, a greater instrument for the worship of the one God? I say, the greater Torah, the greater life. The more Torah, the more life. Heed you well, my brethren, the sense of my ruling would give a new strength to the law as written in Deuteronomy, and change our custom to meet the needs of the hour. Are you ready for the vote?
Yes.
Vote.
In favor of my ruling? Aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Nay. Oh, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, O Israel. Indeed, my brothers, is it not true? The Torah is a tree of life to them that grasp it, and of them that uphold it, everyone is rendered happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Ira Eisenstein, leader of the Society for the Advancement of Judaism and vice president of the Rabbinical Assembly of America, Rabbi Eisenstein.
Hillel has remained throughout the centuries the type of teacher and guide which rabbis have sought to emulate. Today, any one of the 450 members of the Rabbinical Assembly of America, or of any other organization of rabbis, would consider himself truly qualified for the work he has to do, if only he were endowed with the patience, the humility, the love of learning, and the skill at interpretation which Hillel possessed in such abundant measure. I mention the Rabbinical Assembly of America particularly, because yesterday, in hundreds of synagogues throughout the land, congregations observed National Rabbinical Assembly Jubilee Sabbath. in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the establishment of this organization, composed mainly of the graduates of the Jewish Theological Seminary. This body of men is dedicated to the same ideals which moved Hillel 2,000 years ago. They, too, are dedicated to the sacred tradition of Torah, to that corpus of law and custom which has been the life of the Jewish people and the length of their days. And like Hillel, they believe that the tradition must develop and grow, ever adapting itself to the demands of life. For the Torah, they say, with Hillel, was made for man and not man for the Torah. How to maintain the fine balance between tradition and progress, between the old and the new, between adherence to principle and adjustment to conditions, this has been the chief preoccupation of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. This organization, together with its sister organization, the United Synagogue of America, and the alma mater of most of its members, the Jewish Theological Seminary, together constitute what is known as the conservative movement. If we wish truly to resemble Hillel, we must be humble and admit that the movement after 50 years stands but at the threshold of its historic task. But again, like Hillel, we are prepared for a long and difficult path ahead, and we are patient. We religious leaders will need in the days to come all the humility, patience, and knowledge we can muster. And above all, we shall need to think together, plan together, work together. On this jubilee, the Rabbinical Assembly pledges itself to cooperate with all religious groups which seek to reinstate brotherly love in this world of strife.
Thank you, Rabbi Eisenstein. Our eternal light drama today, The Rabbi Hillel, was adapted for radio by Peter Lyon from an original story written by Rabbi Eli Pilchick and published in the Reconstructionist magazine. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Mamorsky. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Peter Capel as Hillel and Roger DeCoven as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.